Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Good morning, Aisling.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your dad?
Yeah, sure. He's 81. He's on dialysis, so he has kidney failure. But he's very, independent. Absolutely competentist, smart guy. But he goes into Black Rock Clinic 2 days a week for dialysis. He lives with my mum, who's 85, who has Parkinson's. So he's very much, looks after her, basically.
So he effectively is her carer. So he's well capable of looking after her, with the exception of the couple of days a week when he's out of commission in Black Rock for dialysis. So very independent man. What happened to him at the shopping centre?
Well, the kidneys, obviously, he's unwell. I mean, he's obviously looking after mum, but he's also pretty unwell, and that's why he's got the dialysis. So he collapsed at Killiney Shopping Centre. I presume his blood pressure dropped, or his whatever levels in his bloodstream went wrong. And so he collapsed, and he hit his head hard somehow on the way down, and he cut an artery in his head, and he bled all over the place. Anyway, I don't need to go into the gory detail, but it was all pretty awful. And actually, the Indian restaurant there rang my brother to say that my dad was on the ground outside. So my brother actually did get there while the paramedics were still working on him on the ground. So he split his head. He had quite a severe head injury. He broke his collarbone and was, generally battered and bruised, and was then taken into A&E in Vincent's.
Now, what happened there? We're talking about a Thursday evening when he arrived in St. Vincent's A&E.
In A&E, it was sort of early Thursday evening, I think.
Okay, so what happened to him there?
Well, from what I understand, because I live in the UK, and it was actually my brothers and my sister that were sort of on the front line of trying to deal with this last week. He got into A&E in the ambulance. They went in, and they were basically told, you can't visit in A&E. As in, they were told you can't actually be in A&E. So there's no point in you hanging around, because nothing really is going to happen. We're just going to have to assess him now, and you'll have to sort of talk to us tomorrow. So they left him there for the night. And then on Friday, it just sort of turned into this incredibly stressful nightmare of trying to see him, trying to figure out what was happening, and trying to get him out of A&E, really. And that went on all through the weekend into Monday.
So he was in A&E all the way through the weekend. Was he treated?
Yeah, he was medically treated. As in, he had his head stitched. He had some kind of sling put on for his broken collarbone. He had all the medical treatment that one would expect. As in, he did have a CT scan. So he was being medically treated. The thing that was really shocking for me, because I used to be a nurse in Ireland myself, or at least a trainee nurse, I never became a fully qualified nurse, was that he was in A&E all that time. So 4 nights in A&E, to me, even in the UK, that would be pretty shocking. So he was on a trolley for ages. He was obviously, there's not facilities in A&E really to properly care for someone. So he was lying in the same clothes for ages. He was covered in blood. Nobody was washing it off. So they were stitching him up and doing the kind of medical stuff, but he wasn't eating or drinking properly. He couldn't sleep because it's bright lights in A&E. So he spent 4 nights getting increasingly exhausted and stressed, and didn't really know where he was, not helped by the fact that he couldn't get any sleep. So, you know, my brother and my sister and my brother's resort had to resort to trying to sneak into A&E. Literally, that's what they said other people were doing as well. You're only allowed, if you can get in, it's only one person, but you're not actually allowed in. So when someone opened the door, they said people kind of trying to run in and see what was happening with their elderly relatives. So, you know, it wasn't ideal by any means because they couldn't see him. They didn't really know what was happening. And then when they did see him, they were shocked at the state of him.
Now, he obviously wasn't getting the kind of sleep that he required, and he'd had a bad bang to the head, as well as the pain from a collarbone and all the rest of it. I'm sure he became, you know, a bit disorientated from lack of sleep, but not from his age or anything like that. Simply,
no, he's not. He's not normally in any way confused. He was just very, but he was very confused. He didn't know what day or time it was. They kept trying to check with him that he was okay, and the nurses I think acknowledged that he was confused because there was discussion of sending him for another head scan. You know, they said there was no bleed on the brain, but then they were worried again because he was so confused. But frankly, now that he's in a ward, he's been in a ward since Monday and he's got some sleep, he knows where he is now. But while he was in A&E, he was really got extremely disorientated, and it was quite, you know, very distressing for him and presumably for all the other elderly people who were lying around on trolleys all over the place, which my brother said was just, he said it was just shocking, the state of the place.
So your brother actually, as you say, he snuck in and was able to have a good look around the place.
Yeah. My brother David is a teacher at Johnstown School, as are about three in my family actually, but he just said from what he saw, and obviously he didn't go around counting people, he thought there was probably maybe 50 or 60 people in a place that looked like it had a capacity for about 30. He said there were people all over the place on trolleys, some of them groaning in pain. He said it was, you know, just a completely shocking kind of scene of, you know, chaos, I suppose. There wasn't any criticism of any particular nurse or doctor. You know, I'm sure they're all absolutely run off their feet. What my brothers were saying was just, it was clear that it was completely under-resourced, understaffed, and there was literally no time to give any of these people lying on trolleys the care that they needed. So you've got people lying in their own dirty clothes for days on end. And, you know, normally you would expect someone to, if they're lying in a hospital for 3 days, to get a bed bath at the very least, or to at least have their face washed, or, you know.
Now, you mentioned you were a trainee nurse you worked in the North Infirmary in Cork for a couple of years.
And Crumlin Hospital.
And in Crumlin. So would you ever have seen a situation where a patient would have been left unwashed, untended?
No, I'm completely shocked by it. And I do, you know, I do live in England, and there have been stories over here, quite a few stories about people being left on trolleys for kind of 48 hours or whatever. I'm not saying it's never happened in the UK, but it's a news story that, and I'm a news journalist, it's a news story that crops up, you know, periodically. But 4 days is beyond the pale. I mean, I haven't heard of that happening, although it may well have happened. But I'm not saying there aren't problems here. But, you know, A&E is not set up for 4 nights for an elderly person in a million years lying on their own, not being properly looked after. You know, when I was in nursing, you were expected to, you know, feed elderly people who couldn't feed themselves. You were expected to give bed baths to people who couldn't wash. And you didn't spend 4 days in A&E either in the North Infirmary, and definitely not in Crumlin, because obviously those were babies. So I'm completely shocked by how much it's changed. And I'm sure that the people actually doing the nursing and the medicine are no different from me when I was a trainee nurse back then. You want to give the best care to people. So it sounds like something's drastically wrong.
Does your father at this point have any reflections on his whole misadventure from Killiney Shopping Centre to now finding himself somewhat comfortable in a public ward?
Yeah, he's in a public ward now, Vincent. Not really, because he's still really quite—he's in still quite bad shape in terms of his head. And, you know, really, the family have just been going in to see him and trying to make sure that, I think they're allowed in one at a time, trying to make sure that he's just comfortable and is getting something to eat. Because I don't think the problems with staffing are just in A&E. I think generally all of the hospital is pretty stretched. So what I'm hearing, and it was interesting, all the things that were said to me on Twitter, what I'm hearing is that you need a sort of advocate for you in hospital if you're elderly. You need somebody there keeping an eye on you to make sure that you're getting fed and getting looked after. And that interested me, Pat, because I used to, when I was nursing, I remember hearing about countries where the family would sit by the bed and make food and look after patients. And that's all very well in a culture where people could do that. But we're not in a culture where people can do that. You know, we all work and commute and all that kind of thing. So if we were able to sit by the bed and feed them and look after them and all of that, we would. But A, we're not allowed to. And B, the culture isn't like that, you know.
So but also, that is something that is more typical in the developing world.
It is, yeah.
They share beds. They do all sorts of things. And the best way to get care for the family is the family themselves are, if you like, licensed by the system to be there and to help out as best they can.
Yeah. But it seems to me that that's where we're at now. Actually, in both England and Ireland, it seems to me that that's where we're at now, is that the only way you can be sure that your elderly relative is going to be looked after is if you're going to sit there and look after them yourself. And unfortunately, that's not very possible. Definitely not when you're not allowed in, but it's not very possible generally in terms of the way we all live. So, I think people pay their taxes and expect a system that, you know, their 81-year-old parent doesn't get stranded on a trolley for 4 days in A&E, basically. Mm.
And added stress for your mother with Parkinson's and your father being her principal carer. I mean, she must have been at her wit's end when she heard about this.
She's very upset. She does need someone there all the time. So luckily, there's quite a few of us. So I'm flying in this weekend to spend the weekend giving everyone a break because she needs care all the time. So yeah, I'm flying in on Friday until Monday.
Well, it's. Unfortunately, not an unusual story,
I'm afraid to say. I'm not the only person who's got elderly relatives that are unwell. I think the main point was just purely the 4 days in A&E and the chaos and the it was incredibly stressful and shouldn't.
Well,
it's not ideal, is it?
No, it is not. Aisling, look, thank you very much for sharing your story. The good wishes, I'm sure, of all our listeners, certainly from our gang here in News Talk, we wish your dad the very best for a speedy recovery and getting back to his own bed as soon as possible.
Great. Thanks very much, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.